Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Over the years, I have been to meetings and conferences that have featured a motivational speaker somewhere in the agenda. Some of them were notorious, like former President George W., the first female Secret Service agent, Catherine Childers, Susan Eisenhower, granddaughter of the 34th president, or race car driver Kyle Petty. But the ones that would send chills up my spine and make me want to do a Rocky dance were just great speakers. They had the ability to inspire, make you feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof, so to speak. Quite often, scripture will give me the same inspiration. However, when I was doing my research on these readings today, these messages were hard to place in that category. Because of it, today Jesus and Jeremiah didn't quite make the motivational speaker list. Not initially anyway, as some things that need to be said are not what we want to hear. In the Old Testament reading, Jeremiah was complaining about his duties as a prophet. He fears that God has just toyed, deceived, and ultimately treated him badly. The disciples, on the other hand, in the gospel lesson of Matthew 10, were warned by Jesus about the persecution they would face and the possible rift within families from those that do not believe. These texts today revolve around trust and fear. Jeremiah's lament is twofold, fearing that God's message through him would somehow be lost amongst unbelievers lurking all around him. And secondly, engaging in the trust that no matter what happens, God is always there. The disciples are experiencing the same lament. The fear of resistance and persecution they will face when discipling, and once again, trusting that Jesus will always be there. Both are important lessons we can relate. The motivational message thus lies in our struggles of trust in a time of fear. Why is that so hard? In School of Religion here at Peace, I teach 6th and 7th grade. In connection to the 10 Commandments, I've used in the past an exercise before in class to illustrate trust and fear. One student would stand with their arms folded in front of them with their eyes closed. Another student would stand behind them. The objective is for the student with their eyes closed to fall backwards and trust that their classmate would catch them. Obviously, I would make it very clear that they must be caught. Regardless, they would naturally have the fear of blindly falling and finding it hard to place that trust in their peer to catch them. Would you have that same trouble? We like trust, we value it, we hold it high amidst our moral standards. But fear often seems to create a barrier for that trust. No matter who you are, fear is present throughout all our lives. For young ones, it might be fear of darkness or monsters. Not long after that, you might remember being afraid of failure in school or making friends. Then as you get older, fears transition into making ends meet, health problems, and raising children in a messed up world. What fears can you add to this list? God clearly tells us not to fear. Isaiah writes in chapter 41, verse 10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God speaking through Isaiah is indeed motivational. But it doesn't seem very long, and we are right back at fearing one thing or another. We fear getting involved, afraid of confronting unbelievers. We fear sharing our faith with others because we might get rejected, especially by unbelieving family members. Being hated, as Jesus warns in verse 22, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake." Getting thumped with that proverbial rubber stamp that labels us one of those people Not being accepted is one thing to fear. Then Jesus adds a possibility of giving our life. However, Jesus wants to look at this in a Christian way. He says, all they can do is take your earthly life. They cannot touch your true and eternal life. Jesus assures us we no longer need to fear the end of life on earth because of our confidence and promise in the eternal life that comes through Christ. The most powerful weapon against us is completely disarmed. Even with this assurance, certain things we still fear. And that's not wrong. Some fears are good. I will probably always fear heights. Some of you might not get over the fear of spiders and snakes. But the fear that will affect our faith is the trust or lack of I was talking about earlier. We must take those fears to God, trusting that no matter what persecution might be, God is always there by our side. Martin Luther wrote in the explanation of the first commandment, we should fear, love, and trust God above all things. When we learn to fear what we should fear, we no longer fear what we shouldn't. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but take courage because I have conquered the world. If we remember this truth, the torment of fear through faith will rest in Jesus' arms. Scripture tells us repeatedly that God will take care of us. He loves us. If God takes note and cares for one seemingly insignificant sparrow, we can be rest assured he will take even better care of you and I who are created in his image. If God is attentive to that small bird, how much more attentive will he be to those who are considered his children? Because of our value to the Lord, we need not fear. Because of his love for humanity, Jesus commands his disciples to get off the couch and tell others the good news of salvation. In our sinfulness, we just want to sit back and blend in. Too terrified to speak out when there is a conflict or an overwhelming opposition to the truth. We tend to put our feet up and watch the modern idea in society drift into the belief that you are free to believe what you want. Instead of stirring a ruckus, it's easier to turn the volume down and mind our own business. But as we learned the last couple weeks, Jesus said this would happen. Biblical Fear Factor 101. We are indeed sheep in the midst of wolves. Jeremiah is in the same boat. Prior to the text read today, he was beaten and publicly humiliated by being placed in the stocks for prophesying God's warning of coming exile to Babylon. He thus gave his lament to God, on which he then later cursed the day on which he was born. Did he fear, love, and trust God above all things? Not then. But God included this text in the Bible for a reason. We get to see the very nature of God revealed in his response to an angry child of God and how he restored him. He will restore us as well. We must not lose focus on what God tells us comes after this life. We read in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In our sinfulness, we sometimes fail to fear, love, and trust God above all things. Holding fast to Jesus' promise to us and the free gift of salvation, though, will change that. Today, Jesus tells us to expect persecution, to be hated for the sake of his name. The good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, and what that means for those who believe, is labeled as foolishness in the world. Christians can expect pushback for this, just as Jeremiah did. This is the reason for Jesus' direct message, as this sin corrodes the human heart while the truth is denied, the root of unbelief. Some of you might know the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I have several books that he has written. He was a German Lutheran pastor who knew what it's like to face fear. From the start of the Nazis' rise to power in 1933, he had the courage to stand up against Adolf Hitler. Bonhoeffer believed that Christians have the responsibility not to retreat from the world, but to act within it. During the war, he spoke out against the atrocities of the Holocaust and assisted the resistance movement inside Germany. Refusing to back down, Bonhoeffer was imprisoned in 1943 in Berlin. Unfortunately, he was hung just 2 weeks prior to the end of the war. He was quoted as saying, "Who stands fast? Not the man whose final standard is not his reason, his principles, his conscience, or his freedom, or his virtue, but who is ready to sacrifice all this when he is called to obedient and responsible action in faith and an exclusive allegiance to God. The responsible man who tries to make his whole life an answer to the question and call to God." This is what Jesus was preparing his disciples for. And they answered Jesus' call. They literally devoted their life to God through obedient discipleship. Praise God for those who did this with Christ, and then now that fearlessly faced the persecution that spread the good news. But remember that persecution will come in different ways. Jesus gives us reassurance once again in Matthew 10. Fear not. He says not to be fearful of those who throw sticks and stones. Fear not, for God is the one in control. He knows every single hair on our head, some more, some less. We need not fear what anyone says or does, because we are to fear God, the one who has the power over both our eternal body and eternal soul. We therefore can stand in awe, as Jeremiah proclaimed in the midst of his prayer, from verse 11. The Lord is with me as a dread warrior, therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. Jeremiah was not alone. Jeremiah did believe in God's promise. Therefore, he was inspired to proclaim the words of God. This is the same power our Lord will work through you and me. As Jesus said, those who acknowledge him before men. Jeremiah opened his eyes to sin and realized where his trust must dwell, in Jesus. Strengthened by this, he is ready to face the world with the confidence that God was with him. So in retrospect, Jesus and Jeremiah were motivating speakers. Jesus especially, as he called a spade a spade on what to expect as we go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus told his disciples, "What you hear whispered, they are to proclaim on the housetops, because nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known." Brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't have to fear the loss and love of rejection, because our love is secure in Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be assured of our salvation in him. We have nothing to fear because of the trust in God that we are never alone. Christ dwells in us. God is in control of our life, not because of anything we have done, but because of the redemption and promise of salvation won for us on the cross. Because of this great sacrifice, we can stand on the rooftop and boldly shout this good news and the motivational speech to all the world that Jesus is Lord and God of all, without fear. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.